2 Samuel chapter number 13. I'm going to teach a lesson that I really asked the Lord to give me extra wisdom in how I present it, because I think that this portion of Scripture, if you're not careful, folks, be very careful, because you never let the devil take part of the Bible and use that portion of the Bible as an excuse in your life to perhaps do some things that you shouldn't do. But I want to also take a very honest look at the King David. And I'm going to teach on this subject, David's tragic relationship with Absalom. And we're going to put that under the microscope. I think that there's more than enough blame to go around here. David certainly could have handled things much better. And Absalom certainly could have reacted to things much better. It's really tragic, I think, when you see the introduction of this young man, and then David, a father-son relationship, and all that you see it, the strain that it comes under, and then the broken fellowship, and then the, it deteriorates to the point where Absalom, rebels against his father and steals the kingdom, and then, of course, the death of Absalom and the mourning of David. And it's just the whole relationship is tragic. I think I've hit the right word there. It's a tragic relationship. And so I want to deal very honestly with some mistakes that David made, I believe that David made, and then I want to deal honestly with some mistakes that Absalom made and look fairly at this. Now, one of the things that will help us to benefit from this lesson is, I think, here David, of course, is the father and Absalom is the son. We have leadership and we have followership, and we're going to, and by the way, everybody here in some capacity of your life is a leader, and also in some capacity of your life is a follower. And so I think that we can take these lessons and apply them, every one of us, to our own situation and try to learn from them. A crime is committed in chapter number 13, an unspeakable crime, a wicked thing, the kind of thing that should never happen, the kind of thing that shouldn't even be spoken of against one of David's daughters. And it was committed by Amnon, David's son. Let's pray, and then I'll get into the lesson. Heavenly Father, I want to ask again, Lord, that you'd help us as we read the Bible and study it and introduce these thoughts. Lord, help us to keep our hearts clean and pure before you. Help us to learn from these things that we're going to take a look at this morning. And again, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take a balanced look at it and to be careful and cautious in our application of the truths. And certainly, Lord, we need help. And Lord, may we please give us the wisdom to avert a similar tragic situation or relationship in our own life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to kind of go down through and just tell you the story and make some observations, point out, as I said, some mistakes that I think David made, some mistakes that I think Absalom made. And then I'm going to try to take these, all that we've learned and give you some real practical application at the end of the message. So 2 Samuel chapter 13, the first 19 verses gives us details. I won't read the entire story, but gives us detail about a hideous crime that was committed against one of David's daughters by his son. These would have been half-brother, half-sister. Chapter 13, verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. Now remember that. This is Absalom's full sister, Amnon's half-sister. And so Absalom is involved, introduced here. And then the tragic events, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, and was, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Pastor Larry Brown's message on Amnon had a friend, but well worth you taking the time to dig up if you can and listen to. Wasn't a real friend. Remember I mentioned the other day about when we talked last week about that one that could have stood, that one that could have influenced, that one that could have said to David, wait a minute, here's a friend of Amnon that instead of giving good advice and helping him to overcome this temptation, the Bible calls him, his name is Jonadab, and the Bible calls him a very subtile man. Verse number 4, and he said unto him, why art thou, and boy, this is something you need to, well, there's so many lessons to learn in this one story, but this little phrase, being the king's son, why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day, wilt thou not tell me? And he's suggesting here, hi Michael, it's good to see you, suggesting that here, that because he's the king's son, that he should have what he wants. That nothing should be withheld from him. I mean, because of who you are, because of your position, why is it that you should be denied something? You're obviously upset about something. You're obviously not eating. You obviously want something that you listen. You're the king's son because of your position. You know, we got to be careful, folks, of this sense of entitlement. Because I'm who I am, because of my position, because of my name, I should have this. No. Just let me remind you all of this. If we all got the only thing we truly deserve, we wouldn't want it. But here he is, being the king's son, lean from day to day. Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on the bed, make thyself sick. And when thy father come to see thee, say unto him, I will pray thee, let excuse me, my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. I'm going to read the whole story here because we're going to have to move through about four different chapters, but most of you know the story. He puts within the mind of Amnon a wicked plot. This friend helps him devise a plot where he can get his half-sister to be in the bedroom alone with him, and then he takes advantage of her, he rapes her, and this is Absalom's sister. Now, folks, this is a horrible thing. This is a hideous thing. It would be horrible no matter who it was, but for it to be within your family. I mean, this is tragic on so many levels, and evil on so many levels, and wicked on so many levels. Can you say this? See, there's really times in this story that I so understand Absalom's reaction. But we've got to be careful that just because an injustice is done, that we do not take that as a green light to go beyond the commands of God and our own personal responsibilities in our life. But I don't blame Absalom for being upset here. I don't blame him for being mad. I don't blame him for being murderously mad. Okay, but that doesn't give you a right to commit murder. Okay, so stay with me here, and we'll kind of teach down through here, okay? So they set up this plot. They set up this. Here she comes, thinking that she's going to be a nurse to her half-brother, and he uses this opportunity to force her. We see a crime committed. Now, one of the things I want to point out here is verse number 21, David's reaction. We see here David's anger. Thank you, Brother Harris. We see David's anger, but we also see his inactivity. Okay? But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. But there's a period after that. Okay? Well, I'd be mad too. But you know what, David? You're in a position not to just be angry. You're in a position of responsibility here. You're in a position of authority here, not only as the father, but as the king. Okay, so now you need to do something about it. Now, David's inactivity, and we're going to be very honest about some of David's mistakes here. David's inactivity creates animosity in the heart of Absalom, not only against Amnon, because he feels like he got away with it, but against the authority that should have acted. Look up here, moms, dads, anybody that's in a position of authority anyway, we're going to run ahead on some of the practical lessons. But this, you know what? If something that has been done and it's wrong, it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with fairly. It needs to be dealt with reasonably. It needs to be dealt with a level of compassion and mercy. But it needs to be dealt with. And I think one of the things that creates problems in families, in ministries, in situations at the workplace, is that somebody does something, they've committed something, they've done wrong, and they seem to get by with it. And David is a picture of authority that gets mad about sin, gets mad about the incorrect actions of fellowship, but really never makes them pay a price for it. Mom and Dad, let's just learn on a real simple level. Getting angry when your kids do wrong is not the right reaction. If you just get mad about it and throw a fit about it, but don't really do anything about it, then you know what? They're going to pretty soon realize that they can get by with stuff. Getting mad doesn't cure it. You know, make them pay a price. Make the punishment so high that the crime's not worth it. And so David's inactivity here, he's mad, but he doesn't really do anything about it. He's upset, but he doesn't really do anything about it. He throws a fit, but when the dust settles, Amnon goes on with his life. Tamar's disgraced living in the house of Absalom, and Absalom seething with anger over the injustice done. Nothing has settled. See, a lot of times we don't pull the trigger on punishment, but listen, folks, punishment gives closure to an issue. Let me just see if I can help you there. You ever done something wrong and you know your dad's going to find out sooner or later about it? Okay. And the whole time, even though you feel like you've hidden your tracks and you feel like maybe he won't, there's just this uneasiness because you realize sooner or later. Now, here's the thing. When he finds out and when he punishes you for it, watch this, isn't on some level there's a sense of relief after you regain consciousness? Isn't there a sense of relief? Are you getting this? You know why? Because when wrong is done and a punishment is not given that fits the crime, then you know what? There is something that is unfinished, unsettled. There's no way to close it. Okay? And so a great lesson that we can learn is getting mad about an injustice, okay, but that doesn't fix it. You know what? Let's deal with it. Let's deal with it thoroughly. Let's deal with it properly. Let's deal with it reasonably. Let's enact the punishments that... listen, get mad at your kids, but not letting them pay for what they've done doesn't do any good. Make it cost them something. Okay? And so David, we see his anger, but also his inactivity. That's followed by the rest of chapter number 13, Absalom's hatred and revenge. Verse number 22, and Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. I understand that feeling. And I don't think it was just for that reason that he forced her. It's because it seems like nothing's been done about it. Okay, something needs to happen. Amnon's going on with his life, but Tamar's now living with Absalom. Every day that Absalom sees Tamar, he's reminded. It stirs it up. Okay, David, you should have done something about it. Okay, but so we see Amnon's hatred. But not only is there hatred, there is a plot in his heart for revenge. And this begins verse 23. The rest of the chapter, we see Absalom, notice this, 23. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers. And he invites all the king's sons. And he said, I want all the king's sons to come. And 2 years he's carried this thing around. 2 years he's looking for the right opportunity. 2 years he's dedicated himself to, you know what, I'm not going to speak neither good nor bad. Basically, I'm going to ignore him. I'm going to make him feel like this is behind us. But the whole time, I'm plotting for an opportunity, and I'm going to have my revenge. Now, listen to me. This is where I'm going to jump over, and I'm going to kind of defend Absalom and get after David. And then there's times I'm going to jump over and get after Absalom and defend David a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. Yes, you say, preacher, but David should have done something. Okay, I get it. But Absalom carrying this around in his heart and plotting revenge. Now watch this, folks. Listen. Revenge is the Lord's responsibility. Vengeance is the Lord's responsibility. Vengeance is the Lord's responsibility. Say it with me. Vengeance is the Lord's response. Say it again. Vengeance is the Lord's responsibility. If you listen, I'm mad about, okay, if something should have been done, okay. Anybody figured out life's not always fair? Anybody, all right, already going back in your mind and thinking about, yes, something was done and something shouldn't have been done, something more should have been done about it, and okay, listen to me. You know what? If you're not careful, you'll let that thing destroy you. You'll let that thing destroy you. Okay? You'll let that thing drive you to have an attitude or to commit actions that are outside the boundaries of right. Okay? I believe something. I mean, again, I'm jumping down into some of my practical lessons, but I believe something. I believe that God balances the books. It's not my job to balance the books. It's not my job. There's times when I look at something and there's part of me that just, oh, you know why? Because I feel like somebody did something and got by with it. Now, what I can do is I can say, I'm going to make sure that they pay. And I just crossed over into God's arena. Okay, God hasn't, listen, watch this. God has never needed vigilantes. Is that how I say it right? God has never needed vigilantes. He's well capable. Anybody doubt that he's powerful enough? Anybody doubt that he doesn't have far-reaching power? Anybody doubt that he can't at any moment pull the string? Well, preacher, it's been years, okay? How many of you have figured out that, you know what, the judgment of God upon wrong doesn't always happen in our time frame? Sometimes it happens in God's time frame. But if we're not careful, we're going to cross lines. Again, I'm jumping over here. I'm defending Absalom's right to be mad. But Absalom, you've taken this thing over into an arena now where you are stepping into God's, you're making yourself God in this, and you know what? Only God gets to be God. And so Absalom begins to take matters into his own hands. The story, if we had time to read it, he brings all the king's sons together. He tells his servants there's going to be a certain time where Amnon is going to be merry in his heart. And you know what? When I give you the signal, I want you to fall upon him and slay him. All the king's sons, when this happens, runs out, jumps in their corvettes, and heads over to the palace, jumps on their mules and heads out. And the word gets to David that Absalom had killed all of the king's sons. That's not true. He just killed Amnon. He tears his garments. He lays on the earth. He's grieving over the death of all of his sons. And then word comes that not all of them, just Amnon. And so we see Absalom's hatred and revenge. And then Absalom's self-imposed exile. In verse number 34, it says, but Absalom fled. In verse number 37, but Absalom fled. Now, after he committed this, he left. He ran off. He took off. He put himself in self-imposed exile. He goes off into hiding. He's afraid of the consequences of his actions. Very interesting, if you'll see. In verse number 37, the end of the verse there, it says, and David mourned his son every day. So Absalom fled. Again, verse number 38. Notice verse 39. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Absalom is there, the Bible says, verse 38, for 3 years he fled into Geshur for 3 years. David has mixed emotions about what happened. And so we'll talk about that in just a second. Now, preacher, let's go over David's mistakes. Help us out here, all right? Let's kind of come over here and, And let's put David under the microscope for a second. Let's deal with things that will help us as leaders. Okay? David was, number one, David was angry at Amnon but failed to properly punish him. I think I've covered that. I said that. Let's be cautious about having an emotional reaction to wrong but failing to properly deal with wrong. Number two, David mourned and longed for Absalom yet failed to go to him. And I think this is one of the lessons we'll get down here in our practical lessons, but folks, listen to me. He let this thing fester for 3 years. By the way, he's not done. It's going to fester longer. But for 3 years, Absalom went into exile, scared to come back. David sat in there wanting his son to come back. And he longs even to go to him because there's a part of him that knows that Absalom at least did something, even if it was wrong. So David's got mixed emotions about this. Notice it said there that he was comforted concerning Amnon. He wasn't mourning Amnon's death. In a real sense, I think David said he finally got what he deserved. But it was done the wrong way by the wrong person, and so David didn't do what he was supposed to do. Someone else stepped up and did. Now that relationship's strained. And so Absalom is in exile. David longs for him, but fails to go to him. Let me give you this little lesson here. Fix fallouts with face-to-face confrontation. Fix fallouts with face-to-face encounters. You know what? Distance, all it does is breed contempt. It makes the situation worse. It doesn't make it better. Okay? David knew in his heart, I ought to go to him. I need to go to him. Yes, he needs to be corrected for what he done, but he also needs to hear me say some things about maybe what I should have done. David had the power, I think, right now, watch this, to avert the increased rebellion that we're going to see in Absalom down the road. Now, I've got to jump back over here, and I've got to say to Absalom, Absalom, there is no excuse for what you're about to do when it comes to rebelling against your father. But then I want to jump over here and say, David, I think you could have headed that thing off. I think you could have headed that thing off. Okay? And so you see the dilemma of teaching this lesson. I don't want anybody to walk out of here and say, well, if authority doesn't react properly, that gives me a green light to rebel. No, Absalom was wrong. But I also want to say to authority, handle things right so you don't create an Absalom spirit. You see what I'm saying here? So that's the tightrope we're walking here. So what mistakes did you see? You see David angry at Absalom but fails to properly punish him. You see David mourn and long for Absalom yet fail to go to him. You see David sins for Absalom yet fails to meet with him in chapter 14. There's an entire story here where Joab works as an intercessory between David and between Absalom and finally gets them together. And we don't have time to teach all of that story. It's kind of interesting the way that Joab did it. I like Joab sometimes, and then there's times Joab just drives me crazy. Joab is a mess most of the time, but every once in a while he does something that just makes me say, and let me just say this, okay? I don't, most of the time, if you study the life of Joab, I wouldn't say, hey, try to be a Joab, but in this one instance, if you got an opportunity to intercede and to be a peacemaker, and you know that this person is mad at this person, this person mad at this person, and you have a good relationship with both of them. See, Absalom was communicating with Joab. I think Absalom liked Joab, and I think Joab liked Absalom. Obviously, Joab respected David, and David had a relationship with Joab. He was in a good position. Now listen, don't interject yourself into a situation that you don't have strong relationships with. Some people decided they're going around fix the problems of the world, and a lot of times they're the last ones that ought to be doing it. But sometimes you're going to find yourself where you have a good, strong relationship with two different people that are at odds with each other. And you know what? if the Lord would so lead you, and with great wisdom, please, sometimes somebody stepping in can't orchestrate the fixing of a broken relationship. And by the way, watch this. How Christ-like is that? Wasn't it Jesus Christ that came to earth, and here is God, a holy God, and here is man, a sinful man, and yet He bridges the gap between them? He does what's necessary to see to it that they can have fellowship and that they can have a relationship. And so how Christ-like is that? And so in this instance, if you have opportunities in your life, and with great wisdom, please, with great wisdom, please. Something, you know, I don't know about you, but it just grieves me. I mean, it just grieves me in my heart. And I know you can't fix the whole world. But man, it grieves me when I hear of families just, you know, this family member hasn't talked to this family member for 10 years and this person's been. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know real life enough to know sometimes it's what it is. But sometimes I think, who in that situation could have early on come in and said, come on, you know, you love me, I love you both, I know you both love each other, down in your hearts. And get them in the same room and work some things out and avert this thing that goes on sometimes, folks, for generations. And so I do appreciate Joab in stepping in and doing that. But through a series of steps here, David does eventually send for Absalom, but he fails in this matter of actually meeting with him. And so Absalom is allowed to come back to Jerusalem. Verse number 24 of chapter 14, and the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. And so he's allowed to return to Jerusalem. He brings him back, but I won't talk to him. I don't want to see him. All right, Joab, you can bring him back, but it's still not fixed. Now, folks, if you study this through, this goes on for another 2 years. Verse 28, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. This is crazy. All right, he's exiled for 3, allowed to come back for 2. They're both living in the same city and they don't see each other. And it's still not fixed. All right, now, again, I want to come over here and I'm going to say, David, come on. Don't half do it, do it. Don't half fix it, fix it. Okay? Don't bring somebody. Listen, watch this. When we sin against God, okay, part of the forgiveness, when we confess that, when we repent of that, part of the forgiveness process is restored what? Fellowship. Okay, what if God treated us like this? Okay, all right, I'll forgive them, but I don't want anything to do with them. Then you didn't forgive them. I'll forgive them, but I don't want to know. Then you didn't forget, David. You're half doing it. Okay, you can bring him back, but I don't want to see his face. Well, excuse me, but when God forgives me, He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to forgive you and take it off your record up here, but don't talk to me again. Thank God, God doesn't do that. See, sometimes we want to feel better that we have forgiven someone, but we haven't really forgiven someone. Because real forgiveness always involves restored fellowship. And when God forgives us, you know what? He brings us back into the family. When God forgives us, you know what? He doesn't bring it up again. He buries it in the deepest sea. He separates as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't leave it as this unspoken cloud that's hanging over the top of this relationship from now on. You know what? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Forgotten. God chooses to forget them. When I go back to fellowship with Him, you know what? He doesn't sit there with it in the back of His mind saying, well, I got to be nice to this person. I'll be nice to him. But no, that's not forgiveness. That's not godly forgiveness. And so we see that David hasn't fixed it. He brings Absalom back in and he creates this really odd situation. Watch this. Where Absalom is brought back into Jerusalem and therefore goes about as the king's son, yet with no relationship with the king. He brings him back into Jerusalem to build, if you'll let me say this, a following, and yet no fellowship and responsibility and loyalty to the king. David, okay, do it right. Now again, I'm going to get on Absalom in a few minutes here pretty heavy. But what I'm saying to King David is, you know what? 5 years this thing's festered. 5 years this thing's gone on. Okay? Watch this. Absalom's mad because you didn't punish Amnon, and that didn't give closure. But Absalom now has committed something that he's not gotten punished for, and you still don't have closure. And everybody walking around like nothing's happened doesn't fix anything. Okay? And so, isn't this interesting? Do you feel the same way I did? I'm studying this, and I'm like, I don't know whose side to take here. I'm mad at both of them. And, I think that's why, let me just say this. I believe this. I think the most spiritual person is the person that reaches out first and tries to fix a broken relationship. Okay? I'm glad Joab was willing to intervene, but can I say this? A third party shouldn't have had to be involved in this. I think sometimes a third party is needed. But honestly, it's a weakness. You know, when, we won't go back there because of time, but when Abraham had his falling out with Lot, remember that? Herdsmen getting in each other's way, arguing over water and food and all this. You got to read that little thing. It says, and Abraham went to Lot. And Abraham said to Lot, I like that. You know why? Because Abraham was a man of God. He didn't go home and complain to Mrs. Abraham. He didn't go across the neighbor and say, you will not believe all I've done for my nephew. He didn't do that. He went to Lot. And just early on, David, you know what? You're a man after God's own heart. Watch this, David. You've experienced forgiveness after doing some pretty wicked things. Now, I'm getting on David. I'm going to jump on Absalom here in a second. But come on. God took you back in the fold. God forgave you. Come on. And so there's a part of me, like I said, that's really disappointed in David. And then when David finally does receive him, verse number 33, so Joab came to the king and told him when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fixed. Folks, listen to me. The subject hasn't been discussed. No punishment has been given for Absalom's actions that were out of order. Okay? You say, preacher, why not? Why didn't David properly deal with Amnon, and why didn't he properly deal with Absalom? I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Okay? These are two crimes. This isn't just Amnon that did wrong. It's Absalom that did wrong. Amnon did wrong, and David didn't deal with it. Absalom did wrong, and David didn't deal with it. I think two reasons here. Watch this. Number one, because they were his sons. Parents, look right up here. Let's help each other. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm a parent too. Sometimes, you know what? We cut our kids too much slack. Somebody else did the same thing. You know what? We'd want them home. But it's our kids, so what we're going to do is not deal with it. Come on. Come on now. Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. We all, if we're not careful, have a blind spot. Another kid in the school would do something and you'd want them hung. Your kid does it and you want to act like everybody's, why are they persecuting him? You know, and David was just a dad. But he did not do those boys a favor by not dealing with their sins and not making them accountable for their sins. And I'm going to tell you another reason that I think David didn't do it. Number one, I think he had this because they were his boys. But another thing, watch this. Because David had these same sins in his background. Okay, think about what Amnon did to Tamar. Think about what David did to Bathsheba. Think about what Absalom did to Amnon. Think about what David did to Uriah. Now, parents, let me help you with something here. Sometimes our kids do something, and the honest truth is we even our past have committed the same sin or a similar sin, And so we feel like, well, I can't say anything about it. Yes, matter of fact, you have now increased authority to say something about it. Because David knew what kind of consequences he had to pay for his sin. And he ought to saw to it that those boys understood, you know what, you don't get by with stuff. It's not going to pay to ignore it. It has to be dealt with. He that covereth his sin will not prosper. Boys, I tried that. I tried to do the same thing. The reason I'm dealing with this is not because I hate you, it's because I love you. And you know what? You can't ignore it, and you can't run from it, and you can't hide from it, and you can't act like it never happened. You have to deal with it. And I think if David, from an open, tender heart, would have had that conversation with those boys, I think they would have been open to the appeal to their father. Because what their father did was no. Okay? And so, think about that. Now, all right, I'm scared to death. Some of you are going to leave here thinking Absalom was justified in what he did. Preacher, but leadership was wrong and could have done some things better and different. Yes, they could have. But Absalom, the mistakes he made, he plots revenge instead of appealing to the proper authorities. You know what? Why didn't he go to David? Why didn't he say, wait a minute, I've got my sister in my house. What are we going to do about this? Absalom orchestrates murder instead of taking the law into his own hands. Okay? Two wrongs don't make a right, Absalom. Absalom flees instead of facing his father. I'm going quickly through these because of time. He flees instead of facing his father. If he was justified in what he'd done, why didn't he, after he got it done, go see Dad? Okay, he nurses bitterness instead of laying the matter to rest. You notice verse number 27, by the way, 25, and all Israel, there was this after he brought him back, but didn't see all Israel, there was none to be, it's chapter 14, all Israel, in all Israel there was none to be much praises Absalom for his beauty, not for his integrity, not for his character. From the sole of his feet into the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. They need to check the inside. When he polled his head, I'm not sure what that is. For it was at every end's year that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. I think that means once a year he got a haircut and weighed it. And unto Absalom, now watch this, and unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was what? He's still carrying it. Watch this. He's about to pass it down to the next generation. He's still carrying it. Okay? So he nurses bitterness instead of laying the matter to rest. He returns but fails to repent. Matter of fact, if you notice in verse number 32, when he's appealing to Joab to orchestrate a meeting between him and David, he says, behold, I sent to thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It has been good for me to have been there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. And watch this. If there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. That doesn't sound like the prodigal coming back to the father saying, I have sinned. It sounds like a dare. It sounds like I should have access to the... Watch this. I should have access, face-to-face access and fellowship with the king without asking forgiveness, without true repentance. So Absalom, it's one thing to return, it's another thing to repent. Absalom undermines the king's authority. Chapter 15, verse 6 verses. Well, he goes out and hangs around the gate and he listens and schmoozes, and he has a lot of personality and he has outward looks, but he doesn't have much integrity. And the Bible says in conclusion, verse number 6, and on this matter did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judge. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So he undermines the authority of the king. Absalom rebels against the king. Chapter 15, verse 7 on down, announces himself, proclaims himself as the new king of Israel. And then, if we were to study on over into chapter number 18, we see that Absalom pays the price for his rebellion. Even though for a short time, he disposes his father off the throne, he pays for his rebellion. Now, let me give you 3 minutes of practical lessons, and then take this home and ask God to give you wisdom and ciphering through everything that we studied today. Practical lessons, preacher. All right, here they are. proper punishment should be assigned to every crime committed. Okay? Don't let things go. Punishment, proper punishment, brings closure. It allows leadership to move on. It allows fellowship to move on. Okay? So don't sweep things under the rug, and don't pretend they didn't happen, and don't ignore them. Deal with them. Secondly, when an injustice is committed, allow proper authority to decide on the proper punishment, then let it go. Bitterness over a perceived injustice leads to foolish attitudes towards authority and foolish actions against authority. Well, if I was in charge, I think it was this, and I think it should have been different, and I think they should have got this. But folks, number one, you're not in charge, and number two, you probably don't have the same information as the people that are in charge. Okay? Too many times something is reported that happened. And so folks begin to pronounce judgment on what they think ought to be done about it. But the person in authority that hears the matter out and does a full investigation has more information than the person that has partial information. Partial information usually comes from one person that was affected that's mad and biased. And so they present it in a slanted manner as if this happened and they failed to give you all the information. So punishment that's given out by proper authority may not measure up to your expectations, but if you had all of the information, it would make sense to you. It's not authority's responsibility or obligation to go to everybody in the church over everything and say, let me tell you the whole story so you'll understand. All right? And so, you know what? Sometimes you have to let authority deal with it, let them give a punishment, and then let it go. Okay? Let me give you a couple other things. God is the avenger of all. Let Him balance the books. Never let your entire life be defined by a perceived injustice. I think this is the saddest thing about Absalom. Great potential. But his entire life became defined by a perceived injustice that happened, and he never could let it go, and it led him to a day when he's hanging by his long hair in a tree with darts being thrown into his heart. Good night. Good night. What a waste of life. Number five, fix fallouts with face-to-face encounters. Don't let things fester. Don't let time go by. Go sit down. We were talking about this, me and Brother Rice, the other day, and he was saying this. He says, it's amazing if two people, two brothers in Christ that have a disagreement or fallen out or misunderstanding, will just sit down together and talk it out and listen to each other, how many times, 99.9% of the times, in a short meeting, short amount of time, that thing can be resolved, taken care of, and put behind them. Okay? Number six, if God gives you the opportunity to be a peacemaker, do it. Okay? Number seven, a leader's shortcomings should never be used as an excuse for rebellion. Don't let that be taught to your children, please. Well, I don't think they handle it right, so you ought to have a right to go to church or school or anywhere to work and cop an attitude and do what you want and be a... No, no. Sorry, Absalom. I got to talk to Absalom for a minute. Sorry. All right. I agree with you. Your dad could have handled some things better. But rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And God's never going to bless it. And God's the avenger of all. Let it go, son. Because it's going to chase you all the way to that oak tree. Let it go. And so we have David as a leader. Let's learn from him. Man, there's proper ways to handle things. I've got to make sure I do the things right. And then as a follower, let's make sure that we don't let sometimes the weakness, shortcomings, and even failures of human authority give us this idea in our mind that we have the right then to break the commands and the boundaries of God's Word because we didn't feel like they did their job. Did I make sense? Because I'm not sure I did. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll take the befuddled efforts of this preacher and help us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, teach us. We pray. Bless the service of the fall. In Jesus' name, amen.